Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Bosh, welcome to the Yellow Block podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network. Joining me this evening to discuss Stevenage and Doncaster and, of course, that ownership situation is Nathan. Good evening, sir.
Evening, you all right?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Also from a very cold northwest, I've got Dan Topknot Weldon with us.
Evening.
Long time no speak, how are we doing?
Yeah, not bad at all, mate. Thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I'm cold, I feel like it wouldn't be me if I wasn't moaning about something and, you know, being British is the weather. So you may also have seen on Twitter, we reached out asking for some loan sign-ins to help us get through to the end of the season. And we're delighted to welcome one such sign-in now, Mr. Chris Franks. I'll try that again. Craig, even. It helps if I get your name right. Sorry, Craig.
Good evening, Tim. How are you?
I'm not too bad. We'll just ignore the fact I just got your name wrong right from the off there. But aside from
I've been called a lot worse.
if I can make an excuse, it's because I'm trying to read off the script where Danny's made some very last-minute notes, which is why I'm struggling there. But, you know, as a professional, nobody would have noticed that slip of the tongue there. So now, one of the reasons that we've got yourself on, Craig, more than anything, because you wowed us with your application, we had to ask when we were putting these applications together, what people's opinion is around the ownership situation. And you are, to my knowledge, very much pro the current ownership. Unfortunately for you, you've probably joined the wrong panel this evening because my opinion on Darrow is quite well known. Dan is, let's say, also relatively negative. And Nathan, it's probably fair to say you sit somewhere in the middle. Slightly more tepid and slightly more welcome.
I see both sides, whereas you two probably don't.
I see both sides, I just choose to accept one. Greg, what's your view on the situation? Because we've had a play out this week, of course, with Randy and Jason disappearing from the company's house. Where do you stand, first of all, on current ownership at the moment?
I think ultimately, when the two guys came in a few years ago, I didn't want to sound pessimistic at the time, but I was very sort of questioning why the timing with them coming on board. I think I went to a few of the fans' forums over at the ground, heard some of the sort of answers that were given, and they all sounded quite generic, and I thought, fair enough, but seeing is believing. And I'd like to think that of the three, Dara, I think, has always met his objectives. He wants to obviously play attractive football. He wanted us to get as high up the league as we possibly can. Did he struggle trying to get other things over the line? Yes, and that's why I believe he brought Randy and Jason in. But my fins on the guys, fast forward 3 years, I think Jason's kept his side of the bargain. He's certainly been looking after the youth element side very well. Very much sort of been a custodian of that. But I also believe that Randy is probably the only one that never really met his objectives. I appreciate he probably got further along than most people, but he never actually got to the hallowed ground of actually getting Ethan over the line and actually getting us to where we wanted to be, which was over at the embankment. And ultimately, I still see that as a fail.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with any of that, to be fair. I mean, we're still waiting for an official word in terms of where we're at in terms of the management of the club now. Are they still involved in a sense, or have they completely disappeared? I don't know. The thing is, Nathan, this is a... I mean, I think Randy, we're probably maybe not overly surprised by. We know there was allegedly some issues over the summer that may still surface. But Jason, a little bit more of a surprise for you to see him gone?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, Craig's made, you know, really, really good points there that, you know, the youth programme, for instance, has been fantastic and definitely been a roaring success, I would say. Obviously, the stadium situation, probably less so, but I guess you can put an element of that down to the COVID situation and that kind of hitting us, you know, all on the blind side. But yeah, no, it is a surprise that he's gone. Obviously, not gone, but, you know, he's not necessarily going to be as involved as he previously was. So I guess we kind of need an explanation to understand fully the reasons behind it. Until then, we can't really speculate with any kind of know-how, I guess. But it is a surprise purely because I'd say he's, you know, behind Dara has been, you know, the most involved, the most, I suppose, public as well. Obviously, I know his Twitter account's kind of been closed down and we've not really heard anything from him for the last few months. So I guess from that respect, maybe it is less of a surprise, but, you know, definitely more of a surprise than Randy. Obviously, you know, we all know that situation and how that's played out roughly. So, yeah, definitely a shock.
Yeah, I mean, it won't stop us speculating, even though we can't speculate until there's that news there. It is interesting, though, Dan. And I mean, the lads have said there a really good point around Jason. He has left a legacy, whether we like it or not. If he is, you know, no longer part of the club, there is that legacy there with the youth setup, which has absolutely come to fruition. Randy, I mean, we have to be obviously slightly careful what we say. We know that there were issues over the summer, and obviously we've had, you know, some information around that without trying to set myself up for a fall. Are you surprised that the pair of them went, or were you expecting just Randy to go?
No, I'm not too surprised. I mean, it's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? But we don't know until we know. And it's difficult to speculate too much without, like you say, putting ourselves in a bit of hot water. But I think the whole sort of plan with them coming through, for how I saw it anyway, I don't know about other people, but to me, it's been a failure from the get-go. In terms of them coming in and investing in the first place, for me, I always saw it as a succession plan for Dara to get out, bring in someone, let them learn the ropes, you know, get a foothold and then sing himself off into the sunlight. And obviously that's not happened. We're, what, 5 years after the investment and Dara's still here, still chairman after resigning four times, or you know, El Presidente as he goes by now. And the club's a bit stagnant. Obviously, we've had that promotion, but we went straight back down. And last year, God, let's not talk about the end of last year. And so for me, I was always expecting them to sort of dip. Obviously, Randy, we're expecting to go a little bit earlier than he has done and to go at the same time as Jason. It's a bit of a shock, but I wasn't surprised at all. And with Jason, I just feel like he had a plan coming in terms of what he wanted to do with the club and the youth setup, and he achieved the youth setup. I don't think it's a failure on his side by any stretch of the imagination. I do think that the investment has gone well for the future of the club, but I just think the progress that they wanted to make in the here and now, in terms of, you know, the stature of the club, where we are, you know, the stadium, like Craig said, it's just not happening for one reason or another. And obviously COVID didn't help, you know, the mass amounts of debt that the club supposedly finds itself in is not helping the situation either. So it's a difficult one. And obviously they're not selling their part of their shares, or that we've been made aware of. They may be doing it privately, but it's not public knowledge by any means. And so, you know, maybe they're just stepping away for other reasons. For me, and the conversations that we've had with Jason in the past, and obviously his sort of disappearance in the last 6 months, it sort of suggests maybe he's falling out of love with football, or maybe he's just, you know, sort of disenchanted with the whole situation at the club. Obviously, we know he's had some personal issues in and around social media in the last 6 months. It's been relatively well documented, and I think that plays a factor as well. So, you know, maybe it's just a case of give them some privacy, both of them. You know, give it a month, 6 weeks, and maybe we'll know something in the new year.
Yeah, sound point. I do wonder how much of this is to do with the stadium. But let me ask you this, Craig. I suppose as it stands now, from what we can gather, it looks as though Darragh is now, you know, sort of back in sole charge. Do you still firmly believe he's the right man to take the club forward?
I do, because I don't see anybody else coming forward that's got the same drive and, with the greatest respect, the financial backing to want to help us out as a club. I mean, I've heard rumours. I'm not going to state who, because obviously I don't want to put you guys at any sort of situation. But I think ultimately, I don't really see a great deal what the guy's done wrong. I know he's been very flamboyant in the past and he's been very outspoken, but you can only deal with the here and now. And with the greatest respect, this season he came out and he played everything down, and he's not. I haven't heard him once yet say anything to sort of counteract what his statement was at the start of the season, and that was that he was just happy to play this season out and see where he goes. So I commend him for that, because I do believe people hold on to a lot of the points he raises and they certainly don't let it go if it doesn't come to any fruition. So, yeah, I'm still very much in his corner, and I think I always will be, to be fair.
Yeah, and to his credit, it's a really good point you make there. It is the first time this season where it looks as though he maybe learnt from previous mistakes in terms of setting the expectations lower. Whether or not that was all on him, I don't know. Obviously, we have to assume it was now, but it is a valid point. But do you feel that, obviously, we've had a couple of stabs at the championship under Darragh, and it's kind of been rinse and repeat every time. Do you feel that were we to win promotion this year, that he will have learned his lesson in that respect in terms of going up to that next stage?
I'd like to think so. I mean, he made some comment, I think, a few weeks ago on his podcast since he's come back onto it, in regards to he knows that they've got to do something different. Now, he'd never alluded to what that was, but I'd like to think it may be on the lines of experience, something that when we've gone into the championship every other time, it's always been players from, with the greatest respect, lower end. You'd like to think that maybe there might be that sort of mindset of maybe a couple of lads that are in their mid-20s but have played championship football, or whether it be loan signings from the Premier League above that are maybe on the fringes of first-team football. That's kind of the mindset that I'd like to think they're in. Are we ever going to be going and spending millions on a player? Of course we're not. We're not big enough. We don't have the revenue to make that sort of sign. And I think anybody that I get fed up with the amount of social media people calling out for this player and that player, and it's just like, we're never going to attract them. Never going to happen in a million years. So we've got to play to our advantages, and I think sometimes that is that we're becoming a well-known club for developing young players, and the history speaks for itself. And the one thing they know they'll get here is they'll get a chance. They can go to any other clubs, but will they get the chance and the possibility of playing first team football? I look at the Jadal Katongo situation at the moment. I actually don't think that lad's played as much football as I would like to have seen him play. He's getting a lot of cameo appearances here and there, but if you listen to some of the after sort of match commentaries that he's done, he speaks very highly of the management team. He speaks very highly of the setup. And my understanding is that one of the main reasons he was allowed to come to Peterborough was because it was similar in the way that the club play football, the same philosophies. So we've got to be doing something right.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough. And the problem is I'm trying obviously not to get involved in that kind of, you know, he said, she said type of argument over Darragh, because obviously we do hold different opinions, but it's right to, you know, to acknowledge when he has done things right. And I do feel he's got the expectations right this season. He has recently gone back to doing his job of trying to sort of tout players up and increase value. Do you think, Greg, that that's just, we just have to accept that with Darragh, that he's, I know he hates this phrase, but it's the best way to describe it, that he's kind of that used car salesman type character that will always look to increase prices through his social media channels and through his podcast?
Yeah, but he ain't done too bad in it, has it? Let's face it. How many other League One clubs have made the money we've made? I mean, all right, there's always going to be that argument side of where the money goes, but
which is exactly where I was trying to lead myself up to. So you've played straight into where I was looking for there. So you're quite right of what you were saying about we need to temper our expectations, but you look at the money that he's been able to produce over the last few years. I would argue that as a football club, we haven't seen all of that back financially. Now, don't get me wrong, it's his train set, it's his risk to take. He was the one that put the money in. If he wants to take it all out, that's entirely on him. But I wish he would just come out and say that. I feel with the money that we've made that we could sustain ourselves in the Championship, is my opinion.
I think he'd be opening himself up to a load of criticism now if he did do it. I think he's on a hiding to nothing, Tim, to be fair. He's never gonna win. And I think he's trying to be real now with people that actually you're right with what you say. He has no need to have to come out and declare exactly what's being made by the club. And the one thing I don't believe is this whole thing about undisputed or amounts that are made, that it has to be the selling team or the buying team. If one declares they don't want undisclosed, sorry, that's the word I was looking for. Mm. I don't totally buy that. But ultimately, as long as this club survives, as long as this club is proactively competing week on week, and do you know what, as a club that only gets between sort of 8,000 to 10,000 every week, I'll put up with it. My expectations aren't ridiculous. I'd just like to see a team that competes week in, week out. And for the last few seasons, it's been like pulling teeth. So to see what we're seeing this season, it's been an unexpected bonus as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, hear. You're nodding along there, Dan. Obviously, you know, you've also been relatively vocal in your opinion of Darragh previously. Does anything Craig says there sway your opinion or kind of change how you're feeling?
No. And, you know, it's as simple as that, though. The problem is that we always come back to League One and eventually things come right and we start playing incredible football, the signings work, everything sort of clicks and we get to the point of promotion and we all expect something different and nothing different ever happens, you know, especially the last time. This is the big thing for me on Darragh and the management. It's when we went up two seasons ago, everybody was buzzing. We had a squad that we thought was fantastic, you know, really, really good, probably, you know, by no means a challenger in the Championship, but certainly better than the bottom four or five places. You know, we thought we had a great squad, a couple of additions, we'd have been great. And it didn't work. Fair enough, you know, these things happen. But to be in a position that we were, which was from October to February, going on, what was it, a 13-week losing streak in which we got we got like 6 points in 20 games, something stupid like that. And we just refused to sack Darren. I'm never, ever going to understand that. I 100%, you know, if the guy goes up, give him the backing. But this is three times now. And that last time was a bloody shit show. You know, it was really, 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 really bad. So to be 13 weeks down the line and him leaving on his own back, not even being sacked, he's, you know, walked supposedly, or so we've been told. It just, you know, where are we going? What's the plan? Who are we trying to get in? Who are we looking at? You know, and when we did sack him, we got Grant McCann back in. You know, so it just sort of suggests that when Darren goes again, because he will go again, you know, be it through being sacked or leaving off his own back, I don't think we've got any worries about another club coming in for him, let's be honest. We're going to get Grant McCann back in. It's going to be the same old. We'll probably finish 23rd if we do get promoted. And if we don't, we'll probably finish 7th. You know, we're getting excited over this season. And I am too. I'm not saying that I'm not excited. This is really good football we're playing. We're doing really well. We're getting points here and everywhere. We're scoring goals for fun like we always do. But we're doing it off the back of loan players. Peter Chioso is our best player this season. I don't care what anyone says he is. He's a bloody loanee and he's our captain. And the fact that he's our best player, we're probably not going to be able to sign him in January. You know, we haven't got the finances. We haven't got the standpoint to do it. Let's just see how the season goes, I guess, because I'm being too negative now.
Nathan, what's your on-the-fence view?
Well, Dan's just said so much. I'm now going to have to try and think of my thoughts again. to start off about the Championship season, I think he's spot on with that in that the squad that we had should have done better than it did. I also actually think the business that we did, especially in that summer period, I didn't think was bad at all. I mean, getting Jorge Grant, for instance, he was a top signing, just obviously didn't turn up that season. You know, you had numerous other players that came in that I thought, you know, these are going to be really, really good players for us at this level. I mean, even, you know, Fuchs, when he came in, he was fantastic for the back end of that season. But he is right in terms of Darren should have gone far sooner than he did. And I'm never, ever going to say I want Darren to go because I think he's been a fantastic manager for us. But I think the results kind of suggested as much that this was time. Which is frustrating, obviously, because you know you don't want to see a club legend and a manager that has got us promoted so many times as he has. Bringing Grant in, though, I thought was also the right decision at the time. And ultimately, I think had he had more time that season, he would have kept us up. I think it was just unfortunate that he came in, you know, so late in the day that he just didn't have enough time to get us over the line. And I think we took it to the penultimate weekend, I think it was. So he still did a very, very good job in his own right. But ultimately, you know, he's then been sacked a few months later. So we do have to stop the merry-go-round of going between the two of them. And ultimately, we do need to find some fresh new blood, which is what I advocated to you guys at the time. If you remember when Grant went initially, I said to you that I'm slightly more, you know, on that side of things. But also, I do understand Darren coming back. But in terms of the future, when it comes to the Championship, I do think that we do have to try something different. But I also think that there is a ceiling to what Dara can give us, especially financially, in that we know that he can't go all in, all out, because that's not what he's got behind him. And we are, as a fan base, going to have to accept that we may well be a yo-yo club because we can't financially compete against ex-Premier League clubs. I mean, we're looking at League One that's got, you know, a handful of them in it as well. And ultimately, that's just the division that we're in. But if we do get to the Championship, I think you'd like to think that the lessons have been learned, especially from both Darren and Dara. But, you know, I think hopefully this time, if we were to be in a sticky situation like we were initially with Darren in that sort of Christmas period and the last time that we were in the Championship, then hopefully Dara has, you know, has the scruples to make the change sooner rather than later and give us a better fighting chance, which, you know, ultimately, as I've just said, I think Grant would have done if he had more time.
It's fair enough. I mean, we often, as a pod, get accused of having an agenda against the owners. Obviously, you know, getting yourself on Craig's kind of proof that isn't necessarily the case. When you have a small number of guests, if you like, you're always going to often end up one side or the other. And you do make some really good points about Darren, and certainly from a personal point of view, I am softening on my opinion. But then at the same time, it's because everything's going well at the moment. I'm fully aware that we're having a great season. We're playing some great football and things are going well. Do you think that going forward, Craig, now that Jason and Randy have potentially departed the scene, as far as we know, that there will be a period of instability? Or do you think that this was planned in advance? Dara will have everything in hand in terms of managing us for the rest of the season?
I'd like to think so. I mean, if you look at the appointments that they've made, I mean, they obviously had a plan in action there. They've obviously appointed the two ladies, Liz and I think it's Dawn Gore. They've obviously come in and sort of filled the void straight away. So I think they've always got a plan in place. That I have no doubt. I think one of the queries that I'm constantly sort of battling with is what's going to happen with Barry Fry, because one day that guy isn't going to be here. And I don't mean that sound in a morbid sense. I mean, in the sense he might just eventually step away and actually happily retire, and good luck to the guy. Because I actually think he has done a lot for the club as well, from a positive sense. But I actually do think Darren could be the perfect replacement for Barry Fry. You think of the football that he plays and the interest that he could attain by bringing young potential managers to us that may tick a number of boxes. I think that he'd be a fantastic fit for the director of football role, a custodian that could carry the club forward with a philosophy that he's ultimately started. I think that's very much an option that probably doesn't get spoken about enough, to be fair.
Yeah, it's not one that I'd really thought of. Do you think he would be interested in that? Do you feel like he's ready to give up his management career?
I don't think he's quite ready yet. I think ultimately he's still got plenty of years ahead of him. But I think when you look at the affiliation he's got with this club, I mean, all right, we all joke he's come back four times. It's a merry-go-round, whatever you want to say. But he lives close to Peterborough. He's obviously got friends and family that are also tied to the club. I mean, I noticed his dad the other day was also in the crowd. I mean, is there an argument to say that his dad might get involved somewhere along? You just don't know. So I think it's a case of seeing's believing. But for me, I think there's going to have to be some change, because I totally agree with the lads in the sense that we can't keep having this Fergie, McCann, it just can't keep happening. I actually wasn't in favour of actually getting Fergie back this time. I think I sent you guys a text message at the time. I think I asked for the guy that's gone to Blackpool. Mm-hmm. Neil, I can't remember his name is now, Neil something. But Pritchley. I thought he, That's the one, Neil Critchley. I thought he'd be an absolute perfect fit. I thought Darren might be swayed as well, being obviously the Liverpool connection. It never came to obviously anything. But yeah, I think at some point it has got to stop. And I genuinely do think this will be the last time we see either of them through the door.
Yeah, well, Sir Alex must have a few quid behind him. If he wanted to get involved, wouldn't mind seeing him as owner. I'm happy to have Darren back 8 more times if it means that we've got Sir Alex's money behind us as well. So, and doesn't his one of his other sons, Darren's brother, I believe, is he a scout? Have I made that up, or he's something to do with football, isn't he?
I think he's got something to do. He's got a connection there. Yeah,
yeah. So we could, you know, we'd just bring the Fergusons in. More than happy to take that. To be fair, you mentioned as well about the McCann merry-go-round, which leads us nicely on to reviewing the action that's been taking place in the last week. So, FA Cup second round, Peterborough United 2, Doncaster 1 this weekend. Dan, you're nodding vigorously there. You're obviously overly excited about the fact that we turned Doncaster over, I'm guessing.
You know me. I love a cup run. Oh, it gets me all giddy.
You do.
Nothing better than the FA Cup.
What did you make of this one yesterday? It was, to coin a phrase, a game of two halves in terms of quite a dominant first half performance, followed by a slightly more wintry second half, shall we say.
Yeah, look, I still think it was a good performance, good result. You know, it says a lot when you can sort of soak up the pressure towards the back end of the game. And yeah, we conceded one goal and we're possibly lucky to have the goal like 2 minutes before it ruled out. But look, it's the FA Cup. You know, teams from the lower leagues want to do someone over, and if they're in the league above, then more for them. Obviously, you know, we nearly saw it at Salford. We took them to draws both times. So, you know, I think it's a good result. We've got some good goals. You know, both goals are outside the box. Fantastic. Burrow's finish was lovely. So, yeah.
You're almost singing his praises quite literally there. With that, Nathan, it's, you know, into round three. That was ultimately the aim, wasn't it? Leeds United at home in the next round. What were your kind of thoughts on the Doncaster game?
Much the same as Dan, I guess. You know, much of a muchness of a performance, but I think it shows that we are a very good side. In that, you know, we might not be playing at 100 mile an hour every game, but we're still grinding out results. You know, Doncaster are a side that we tend to struggle against, or at least have, you know, good battles with. So obviously it's nice to come out on the winning side for that game. Obviously, you know, two managers pitting themselves against each other with, you know, connections to the club. So yeah, it's a good result, you know, getting yourself in the draw. You know, Leeds, I don't think it's going to be an easy game by any stretch of the imagination. But you know, if we can get through that, then, you know, it'd be fantastic. But yeah, we've got to beat that Championship side first.
We do, and it's not like it's a bye. Leeds will travel well. I really hope that we give the desco to Poshies for this one. I think that will create a great atmosphere. Dan, you're now shaking your head vigorously. What's going on with your head movements?
We won't. The FA Cup rules, you have to give an allocation percentage, so we have to give them the desco to be able to sell more tickets in the home ends.
Yeah, but can't we just give them that whole the old stand, the old main stand? And just
the maximum we can give them is like 1,800. And you know, Darren's not going to do that. He wants to sell the full 24, doesn't he? So
there's no room for your sort of stats and facts here, Dan. We want the desco for Poshies.
The thing is, I hate to admit it, I actually saw it from Emerald Posh earlier today.
Ah, boo. Wash your mouth out. That's fair enough. Craig, what were your thoughts on this? It was, for all intents and purposes, a professional, if not unforgettable game.
I think it was a tale of two halves, really. Some of it actually looked at times a little bit sloppy. I don't think we were fully on our A game, let's put it that way. I think the goals, there was an element of luck with Harrison Burrows, but it was still there to be had. I think Ephraim Mason-Clark, he's coming from a bit of criticism from me this year. But the last few weeks, he started to find that form again that we all got to enjoy last season. So, I think that the cup run's a good thing. We certainly need it to make some more money for the club. And ultimately, hopefully, we can get through and draw a big team next.
Yeah, I've heard a few people say this, and obviously a couple of you said it there. You know, hopefully we can get through and draw a big team. It's like we forget that Leeds are a huge club, absolutely massive team that travel really, really well. And this will be a great atmosphere. I remember every time we've played them in the Championship, they've always it's always been a great atmosphere at London Road whenever they've come down to us. So no, I'm buzzing for this. I think it'll be good. Nathan, there's been a little bit of criticism yesterday over Ricky J. Jones's performance. Now, you were on the EFL debate with Gab Sutton during the week. Excellent work as well. Congratulations. That was a good listen. I was a bit disappointed you didn't stick the knife into the Stevenage fan, verbally speaking, I should say, a little bit more than what you did. But it was fine. It was an enjoyable listen. Gab seems to have an obsession with the fact that Johnson Clark Harris is going in January. Every time one of us goes on there, he asks us several times how the club's going to cope. Obviously, the discussion was around Ricky J. Jones and how he's kind of stepped up and sort of seems to be now that kind of preferred number nine, at least until it seems Malik Mothersill is back to full fitness. Mm-hmm. Do you think the criticism yesterday was fair, or do you think actually on the swing of things, we've seen some good Ricky J. Jones performances recently?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say he's probably in his best run of form with us since he kind of burst onto the scene, you know, as a 17-year-old. You know, ultimately, there is always going to be an element of the fan base that sees one bad performance and says, oh, okay, he's crap again.
That doesn't sound like posh fans, Nathan. What are you talking about?
I mean, I can list an endless list of players. I mean, you know, Joe Newell, Leo, you know, I can go through so many different players that we've battered for no reason. You know,
Leo, sorry, Nathan, just cutting off. Leo has become like the poster boy for the posh fan base turning on players, hasn't he? Like, he's just become that kind of go-to. It's like, oh,
they got hammered, though. He got hammered week in, week out. And it used to drive me mad because you could see that there was a player in there that actually was technically very good. He just was basically burnt out by the time we'd finished with him. But yeah, that it used to drive me mad. But anyway, to go back to my original point, yeah, he's had one bad performance in probably, 2 months? And I think he's really starting to show the player that I think a lot of us, you know, really hoped that he would be. I know Dan and I have sort of sung his praises before and think that there is a player in there. And I think we are slowly starting to see that. You know, I know not necessarily, you know, the goals haven't necessarily come from that. But I think the overall performances and the pace and that sort of raw natural ability that you can see from him are slowly starting to peek through. And, you know, I think the more that we get behind players, I mean, look at Joel Randall, for instance, now that he's slowly starting to pick up form, you know, our fan base is slowly starting to see the reason that we signed him in the first place. You know, I think if we can do the same with Ricky, I would be very surprised if we don't see, you know, a similar kind of, you know, resurgence, I guess, from Ricky. And I think that's slowly starting to take place.
Yeah, there's no Jared on this evening, so I can talk about XG and stats. Ricky's XG and conversion rate is below. Basically, he's converting less chances than his XG suggests he should. What's your views on Ricky, Craig?
To be fair, I like the lad. I really do like the lad. I think there's an element. I still think he needs to find consistency within his game. That is without doubt, and I think that's his biggest flaw. But I don't think it's something he isn't aware of himself. I think he needs the support as much as Joe Randalls have had this season. And I think it's lovely to see that. I really do. But I think there is, as Nathan alluded to, I think there is a player in there. And I think hopefully it'll be to our benefit. But I think we all have to realise he's 20. He came on the scene at 16, burst onto the scene. We all thought we had the next big thing. I think he was tagged at Liverpool to start with. And what do we all do as posh fans? We all jump on the bandwagon. We all think, oh, that's it. He's gonna run. He's going to hit the net 20 times a season. It was never going to happen. But I think on top of that, the injuries that the lads incurred, it's been totally unfair on him the last few years. And some of the criticism that he's come in for. And I'd like to think this will be the season that will be defining for him. And I actually do think this next year that we need to watch out for him, because this is his year that he's going to find that appearances, and he's going to get the experience this year, and I hope next year it's where he'll actually become fruitful.
Yeah.
So to add to Craig's point, if you think back to that Man City Cup game, there was a reason that Ricky started, and he did run, you know, their right back and centre back, you know, absolutely ragged at that evening. So, you know, we can't forget that there have been performances where you thought, wow, that's a proper, you know, sort of talent there. But, you know, if you just think back to that game and you just think that's such a good performance, that's what you want to see week in, week out. And while you're not necessarily going to see that every single week, you know, there clearly is a talent there, and there clearly is a player that could play at a higher level, I think. But, you know, we've got to get to that higher level again for him to really get that chance. But, you know, that game is, I think, a poster for what he can be or what he can show. Yeah. That's definitely my opinion on him.
Well, at the risk of labouring a point and bringing up the Ricky Jade loans discussion again, Dan, if we do go up, Nathan's saying there that, you know, he's ready for that step up, he's ready for the next level. Do you think he would cut it in the Championship?
I think it's difficult to know, really. I mean, he's only just finding his feet in League One. You know, he's having a good season so far, but we know all too well that an injury is, you know, it's bound to happen. I don't want to say that, you know, touch wood, don't want it to happen. You know, he's a fantastic player, but
I've missed your pessimism.
He is prone to injury. You know, we've only had him in the squad for what, 3-4 years, and he's been injured for two of those years. You know, it's just rotten luck that he's got, and I just don't want to be saying, oh, you know, oh, he's going to do it all in the Championship for him to get crocked in week one, and we not see him again for another year. You've got to also bear in mind that he's only just finding his feet in League One, so to go up to the Championship so early and so young, if it doesn't start for him, if he doesn't do well and the fans get on his back, it's only going to be more pressure that I just don't think it's good for him, you know. The thing
would
is,
you accept, Dan, would you accept him like maybe being a backup next season and coming on sort of like with 20 minutes, half an hour if it's not happening?
I'd be okay with him coming as a back on. I wouldn't want him to be a sub merchant like he has been for God knows how long. You know, you look at him last year, and every time he came on, it was for the last 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just to give us a bit of pace, and it didn't work. It simply didn't. You know, but you can count on one hand the amount of times that you actually thought, "Oh, this has really worked for us. Oh, brilliant!" Because it's a lot to come into. You know, you need to find the pace of the game. He's only young; he hasn't got that experience yet, and it's a very difficult position to be in, especially when you're getting played out of position all the time. You know, obviously he's been played on the left wing for God knows how long, and it's not his position. You know, he's better centrally, he's better getting in behind, and you know, to be stuck out on the wing and just being abused for your pace, it's not the right one. So, you know, I'm glad that he's playing central. I'm glad that he's kicking on and getting some goals and some assists, and there's definitely a player in there. But if we do go up, which I'm hoping that we do, obviously, I think the first thing that fans are going to call for is, like Craig said earlier, a bit of experience, and that experience is going to come in the form of a striker. If we don't have a good striker in the Championship, we're going to be in the same position we've been in for the last two times we've been up. You know, obviously last time, we had Clark Harrison and Marriott, and we thought, yeah, great, that's going to be fantastic. Marriott got injured early on. No, sorry, Clark Harris got injured early on, and Marriott comes in injured. You know, we were stuck. So
only Dan can turn a discussion about Ricky's upturn in form into we're going to have shit strikers in the Championship.
We are, though. This is the thing. If we go up with Ricky J. Jones and only Ricky J. Jones, which is probably going to be the reality, because let's be honest, we're not going to replace Clark Harris in January when we lose him. It's not if, it's when. So if we do go up, we're going to be relying on either a loan or Ricky J. Jones. And when he gets injured in week three and we've got no striker, you'll be coming back to me, oh, bloody hell, you made a good point last year in December.
No, because we have no strikers. You're forgetting a key part of the puzzle here, and that is a certain Malik Mothersill, who I firmly believe, and I'm happy to go on record and say, is going to turn into an absolute baller once he finds some fitness.
I guarantee he won't be in the club long enough to see that. Do you remember 2 years ago when I was bigging up Ronnie Edwards? And I said, oh, we've also got this this lad in the youth academy called Nascimento. He looks the absolute business. He's doing bits for our under-18s. Within 3 months, we'd sold him for compensation to Crystal Palace, and nobody's ever heard of him ever since.
In fairness, he signed that contract. That was nothing to do with us selling him. He signed
I'm
the contract.
I'm not saying we sold him. I'm not saying we sold him, but my point is...
Wasn't that what you just said, though?
Yeah, it wasn't our choice. It wasn't our fact that he'd still be at the club if it was.
I mean, technically, it is still a sale. Whether it was our choice or not, we still sold him.
We've ultimately signed a contract elsewhere, then we're going to get the money for it. We're going to ask for a compensation fee.
Well, I think it's FA rules, isn't it, at that age?
Exactly. Where, it is. Yeah. Well, we still have to go to court for it because they weren't going to pay the full amount. Be that by the by, The problem is that we've got rotten luck with strikers in the Championship. Okay?
Yeah.
It's never worked for us since Craig and Cal Smith. So if we go up with Ricky J. Jones and expect him to do the business, he's not going to do the business. And we need to get that in our heads because, yes, he's doing well. Yes, he's in really good form. But his decision-making is still poor. And he's not a talisman for a club like us. He's not the man that we can put everything on his back and go, Ricky, go and get us 3 points.
Fair enough. Pointless anecdote for you. On my Football Manager save, I sold him to Watford in the first season for 1 million. 2 years later, guess where he is? Curzon Ashton. So if that's anything to come by, I don't know. Hopefully his career does do slightly better than Curzon Ashton. I don't know. We'll see. A quick break and then we will look back at the Stevenage game.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Nice. So, big game we were looking forward to on the Tuesday night just gone. Ended up Stevenage 2, Posh 2. And again, really, a tale of two halves. But I have to say, this was a sensational watch. This was a really exciting game of football. It was the clash of styles that we anticipated it would be. But nonetheless, it was a thoroughly entertaining game. I mean, we had the lion's share of the ball. I think we ended up with like three quarters possession or something like that. It would have been easier just to say 75%, Tim, to be fair. But you know what I mean. We had the lion's share of the ball here. I suppose, Craig, it has to be a good point, does it, away at Stevenage for you?
I think so, yeah. I think we'll look back at the end of the season and we'll actually appreciate that point. I don't think there's going to be many teams that will go there and actually come away with much. So I think ultimately, to answer the question very quickly and sensibly, I think, yeah, it's a fantastic point. I really do.
Yeah, and it was a good game, Dan. It was interesting to watch. I thought it was managed well, if I'm honest, by both teams. I think the officials deserve a bit of credit here because I wouldn't have looked forward to this one, having Fergie and Steve Evans in my ear the whole game. I just thought it was a really good advert for League One football, and I kind of feel like it was both clubs took to social media after the game to kind of praise the opposition team. It was a really odd a really odd evening, but a thoroughly entertaining draw. And it's not often you say that, but they showed good character, didn't they? They were 2-0 down at half-time. Would have been very easy for Posh to kind of go into their shell, but they didn't. And they deserve credit for that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was a bit of quality from both teams. Obviously, their goals, you know, tasty volleys, both of them. Our defending maybe could have been a bit better for the goals, but, you know, whatever. We ended up getting something out of the game. Randall's finish. Lovely. Bit of class there, little back heel, dirty boy. You know,
please don't say
that. It's true. It's disgraceful to try that when you're 2-0 down. Absolutely disgraceful. Look, fantastic result. I'm not going to be upset with a point away, you know, especially to a team that we're competing for the playoffs for, or potentially even an automatic spot. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the return fixture. I don't often say that against the big teams. You know, obviously, we don't have very good luck against them, so. Yeah,
I've got to be honest. I'm looking forward to the return fixture too, but I do think I saw enough from Posh there and enough from Stevenage to make the assumption that I do think Stevenage will drop off. I don't think Stevenage will sustain the level that they're at the moment. Now, Steve Evans has a habit of proving us wrong, of course, but if he stays there, or even if he stays there, sorry, I just can't see them sustaining it. But then, conversely, I don't think we've got the squad depth to sustain the form that we're in at the moment, particularly as we go into December and January. But we'll see. As it stands, though, Nathan, we remain fifth in the league. Stevenage above us in fourth. We've got a game in hand over Steve Evans. And actually, if we win our game in hand, we can go as high as third, leapfrogging Oxford, which we'll come on to shortly because we do play them, of course, this weekend. Not spoken to you for a while. Bearing in mind the form that we're in, any changes to your pre-season predictions?
I can't remember what I said, to be honest.
You said we were going to get relegated and go into administration.
I definitely didn't say that. I think it's been a pleasant surprise, dare I say it.
It's fair, I think.
Yeah. I mean, slightly to go back to the Stevenage game, I think the big takeaway that game gave me was that, you know, the biggest improvement I can see from the side last season to this season is the fact that we'd have lost that last season. That would have been very much a game where we would have crumbled. We might have even lost 3-4, you know, maybe nicked a goal in it, but we wouldn't have come through it and got such a good result, especially away from home. And I think that's the biggest thing, you know, alongside the fantastic football that we're playing, that's, you know, even better than what we saw at times last season. I think the big takeaway for me, especially this season, is just how much mentally we've, you know, gone up a gear or two. Whether that be the fact that, you know, we sold half the squad in the summer, or whether that be the fact that we've gone young and maybe, you know, they're not sort of battle scarred or anything, I don't know. But, you know, whatever's being done in that department, you know, it's been a great job. And, you know, it's really put us into a position where, you know, if we keep this up, if we remain consistent, which obviously, you know, I know that, as you've just mentioned, the squad depth maybe isn't necessarily there. But if, you know, that could be added to in January, then I don't see why we can't at least challenge for the automatic spots. But definitely playoffs minimum, I think now. You know, I'd been a bit more dubious at the start of the season. But I think judging on what we've kind of shown thus far and in terms of performances away from home, like the Stevenage game, that does give me an element of confidence that I don't necessarily want to shout too high about, but at the same time I am quite pleasantly surprised and pleased with how we've done.
Fair enough. And staying with you, Nathan, looking ahead to this week, we've got a Tuesday night game against Arsenal under fours in the what is it at the minute, Burger King Cup, well, I don't know what it is, right, but it's the second round now, knockout football. With that in mind, there's 2 points I want to make to you. One is, I know that we spoke before we started recording around the pricing for this game. It's currently £12 for an adult ticket to go and watch the Arsenal kids in the EFL Trophy. So your thoughts on that? And also, if you're Fergie, what kind of squad are you putting out for this one?
Pricing, I guess, you know, maybe a little more expensive, perhaps. But I guess also at the same time, we've got to try and make money somewhere. And, you know, it's a game where, you know, the gates probably are going to be fairly minimal compared to most league games. So I suppose when I think about it a little bit deeper, I'm not surprised at the pricing. And it may well keep people away. You know, it'd probably be a cold, you know, Tuesday night.
This is the on the pod, Nathan, very much on. Honestly, listeners, you should hear him before we start recording. He's effing and blinding. He's talking about the price of this and price of that and the club's going to shit and all this sort of stuff. As soon as you click record, he's calm and composed and on the fence, Nathan, isn't it?
It's not the Oscars, Tim. It's not the Oscars. But yeah, to go to your question about squads and what Fergie should play, I think hopefully a mixture of you know, squad players that maybe haven't necessarily played as much football as they'd have liked, with, you know, a sprinkling of the players that are on form. You know, I think maybe Kingpin, Joel Randle in the side, try and keep that form going isn't necessarily a bad idea. You know, I know Craig mentioned about wanting to see Katongo a bit more. I think he'd be good to come in and, you know, give Ronnie a rest. It's not a game where he needs to be to sort of play. But yeah, I think, like I said, a mixture of, you know, squad players and a few of the regular starters, I think, makes the most sense, maybe with some of the kids on the bench. You know, I know we've had a few of those that have made debuts of late. I think it'd be good to see Fernandez again. I think he's been really, really good when he's played. I know he's sort of scored some goals as well for us. So, yeah, that would be my takeaway for it. And hopefully that's the kind of side that we'll see playing.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, we're only really excited about one game this week, and that's a huge game at home to Oxford on Saturday. So this is fifth versus third as it stands. They got a new gaffer in Des Buckingham, who, young manager, holds the record for being the youngest manager in the Australian A-League. There you go, Google, thank you for that. Overall record against Oxford, so it's not great. We've won 15, drawn 9 and lost 19. However, we haven't lost to Oxford for the last 6 games. They beat Grimsby 2-0 in the cup this weekend and now go on to face Coventry City away in the third round. So it's another League One versus Championship tie. What are you expecting, Craig, for this one? Oxford at home, going to be cold, but this could be one of those season-defining games looking at form.
Yeah, very much so. I think Oxford a good outfit. They've got some very good players in the team. I think obviously having that new manager bounce will definitely be there and something we're going to have to be mindful of. But I'm still quietly confident. I think some of the football that we're playing, especially even though we do struggle against the bigger teams, I think we actually play better because we know we've got to raise our game. I'd like to think we'll come out with it 2-0 victors, ideally.
Fair play. I'd take that. I mean, Dan, this is, I mean, they're in mixed form. And it's interesting, Craig says about the new manager bounce. It's ironically, I don't think they were kind of, it's not like they were, you know, in dreadful form and you get that kind of uplift that comes with a new manager. They were in good form and now suddenly there's a change at the top. Do you feel like it's a good time to play them?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, it's horrible luck when you lose your manager halfway through the season, especially when you're doing so well. But, you know, it's the way football works, I guess. And if we can play them when they're, you know, changing things up, when they're getting used to a new style, it's probably, you can ask for much better, especially when it's top three side. You know, obviously they got a good result against Bolton recently. I think they drew away. So, you know, they're obviously still grinding out results against the larger teams and the teams that are in good form. So it's certainly going to be a good game. I think if we can come away with a point, I'd still be happy. And we can look on to the slightly easier fixtures in terms of Fleetwood and Shrewsbury.
Yeah, I take your point. I mean, I feel like Oxford are similar to Stevenage in that they're, well, at least under Liam Manning, they were well organised, quite compact, difficult to break down. Be interesting to see what Buckingham does in terms of whether or not he changes their style too much. It does add a little bit of an unknown, Nathan, to this one in terms of if you're Fergie and you're trying to prepare for this game, it makes it quite a challenge. You don't really know what to expect from Oxford.
No, definitely not. I mean, it's the same situation when any new manager comes in, in that, you know, you've got no case study to base it off of usually, unless, you know, you look back to previous clubs that they've been at. But I guess from Fergie's point of view, it's much the same, you know, play the same side, play the way that we've been playing. There's no reason to change anything drastic with the current form that we're in. And I wouldn't expect him to change anything barring, you know, injuries or anything like that. And, it, you know, if we can keep that consistency and that form, then I don't see why we can't, you know, pick up, you know, 3 points again. But as Dan says, I'd be delighted with a point as well. You know, keep us in that kind of strong, you know, vein of form and keep us in the race for promotion, I guess. It's one of those results that I suspect, you know, if we can get that, whether it be a win or a draw, it'll be a result that we can look back and say, you know, that was a really, really well-earned, you know, 3 points or a draw. It'd be really, really key, I think.
Yeah. Score predictions then. So, Craig, you said 2-0, or have I just made that up?
2-0.
2-0 Posh, Dan?
I'm going to say 2-1.
2-1 Posh, Nathan?
Yeah. 2-1 Posh, that was what I was going to go with as well.
Oh, he's gone for the copycat technique. I like that. I'm pretty sure I gave mine last week. I'm just seeing if I can remember it now. I don't think I can. I think I'm sure I said 3-0 Posh, but I'm going to... No, I'll stick with that. Let's go 3-0 Posh. Interesting, though, we talk about predictions because the Yellow Block prediction prediction league has been updated, and actually the mini league amongst hosts has also been updated, and Dan, I now have the lead of my own right with 7 points. Nathan, you are rock bottom on 0. We need to decide a forfeit for the loser, which looks like it's going to be you, if I'm honest, Nathan. Any ideas what you might like us to pick?
Not that I can think of, but to be fair, I've never actually put in the prediction at all, in fairness.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, actually. You've teed that up nicely for me. So we've got 73 players in the league, 10 of whom have 0 points. Now, anyone with less than a point by the end of 2023 will be relegated. So get your predictions in now on social media. Also, while we're on admin, we did the Ivan Tony Award for October and November, a joint award. The three nominations that myself, Jared and Sam put through was Ephraim Mason-Clark, Collins and Poku. Out of those three, Nathan, who would you have picked?
Poku, I would have thought. You know, all of them are worthy winners, to be fair, especially Collins. I think he's been fantastic. But I think Poku probably just pips it. I think he's been, you know, top drawer and really sort of showing a lot of that, you know, bravado that Dara showed when it came to him. You know, he's always championed him and said that he's going to be a top player. And I think we're slowly starting to see that.
Fair enough. Craig, out of them three, who would you have picked?
Yeah, I have to agree. I think Pocket's been top dollar this last month, 6 weeks, to be fair. I think he's really sort of started to come into his own. And I think his work rate's starting to improve, and that's making a big difference. I think that was what was missing last year, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And Dan?
Yeah, echo the sentiments of the other two. To be honest, it's got to be Poker for me. It just gives us so much down that right side. Obviously, he spreads the play. It gives us a bit of freedom in the middle to sort of, you know, lay it off and make something else. So, you know, he offers so much to our side. He's so integral to the way we play. It's got to be him.
Interesting. So it was quite tight, to be fair, on the Twitter vote that we did. There was a tie in second place. Ephraim Mason-Clark got 30%, as did Archie Collins get 30%, which means Poku does take the Ivan Tony Award. It's a double header, this one, as well, for October and November, with 40%. Well done, Qualms. That is probably not your first. I'm not going to lie, I don't have the stats to hand, but I still take that. I think that's a great achievement. Dan, you've just put in the chat, that was me. What was you?
Oh, that was like 20 minutes ago when you said that Nathan predicted we'd be relegated and
go into administration.
That was actually my genuine prediction at the start of the year. How I was wrong.
Well, I mean, there's still time, but yeah, I mean, it's certainly
take the apology now, Tim.
Is what? Sorry. Oh, yeah,
I'll just take the apology now.
No, you've always been on the fence. I don't know. I'm pretty sure you were a mid-table, like most of us, Nathan, when we were.
Yeah, fairly sure I must have said trying to challenge for playoffs, but probably mid-table is what I think I must have said. But I can't remember. It was a while back now.
Fair enough. Well, that's us caught up for another week. Do any of you lads have anything else that you wanted to cover whilst we are got the big red button on?
Not for me.
That's fine, thank you.
Happy days. Well, thanks to I always mess up here. Happy days. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Yellow Block. Don't forget to subscribe, rate and review and follow us on the socials or visit our website, www.theyellowblock.co.uk. Thank you very much, Craig, for joining us. We'll absolutely be getting you back on again. I think you speak really well. And it's nice to have somebody pro-Darrow in the camp as well. And it's good that you have an opinion, unlike Nathan, that's just been long effects. I'm joking, Nathan.
No, thanks for having me, Tim. Appreciate it.
No worries. Join us next time. Up the pot.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.